Acts chapter 9, as we hear about and take a look at the account of this sheep here in the voice of the Lord. The Saul, that we want to take a look at the salvation and conversion of Saul and his call to the ministry. We saw last time here in chapter 9 about how the Lord did visit him, did call him, speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus there, having that great light, making it clear that the Lord is Jesus of Nazareth, and speaking to him about the Lord taking his word and using that on Saul to prick him, to convict him, to open his eyes to the truth. And then about Ananias, this man here of Damascus, of good report, Paul's going to tell about him later on in another account that we take a look at. But we see Saul last time about how it is this filling of the Holy Ghost by Ananias coming to him, the healing, the removing, as it were, scales that had been on Saul's eyes for those 3 days or so. And how in verse 17 of this chapter, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 20, he's preaching Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And they heard him. They were amazed at the change in his life, this 180-degree change that he had made. And in verse number 22, it says, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And we want to consider here just for a moment about this increasing. How is it that Saul increased? How was it that he increased? Was it there in self-teaching and self-reading of the Scriptures that he increased? Well, he knew the Scriptures. He knew those Old Testament passages. That's what they had at this time. He knew the accounts in the Scriptures. But Saul increased because he was there with the church in Damascus. He was there amongst the church. He, there being a babe in Christ, yes, a well-educated man in the Word of God, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, he was instructed in the Bible, in the Scripture, in the Word of God, but now he's got spiritual understanding. And being there with Ananias and the others there in that church, no doubt at Damascus, by being with them, he increased in the knowledge of the Lord. And he is dealing with the Jews that are there, proving that this is very Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth was and is the fulfillment of those Old Testament passages, those Old Testament Scriptures, that God would bring a Messiah, he would bring a Savior, and that Savior is his Son. And so he increased. He increased by being with the assembly. How can you and I increase? By meeting with the assembly. By not the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake being together with the church. The church, the meeting with the church in and of itself is not enough of an education in the Word of God, but being by yourself is not enough education in the Word of God. It takes it all. It takes self-study. It takes meeting with the house of the Lord that He's fitly joined together and put us in. And that is how one is going to increase. Have you increased in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Word from last year? Have you been blessed to see more application of the Word of God than you knew last year? Have you been reminded of things that you had forgotten, that you had maybe learned years, maybe if you've been saved for decades, you'd forgotten those things decades ago, and have been renewed and refreshed in those things, and Lord making those things new and alive? Or is your life, is our life with the Lord and walking with the Lord, is it just there kind of flat line? Just kind of flat line. We need to be stable. We do need to be steady. But we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. How is it with you and me? How is it with us? Saul is found here increasing. Can we say that Saul, who will be called Paul, can we say that he lived a life of increasing in the word of the God, word of the Lord and the service of the Lord? Is it evident in the scriptures that he lived a life of increase from the day that he was saved till the day he died? Can we say that? Amen. I believe we can. I believe that's evident in the scripture. The Lord used him to reveal much to us in many, 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 many books that the Lord used him to write. Do you want to increase? Do you want to increase? Are we content with the status quo? Well, we need to, we should have a desire to increase, and if we don't have a desire to increase, then something's wrong. Something's wrong with our life, with our salvation, with our conviction about the Lord. He increased the more in strength, and with that confounded the Jews. They had no answer to what he brought up, because he proved out of the scriptures that this is Christ indeed. Verse 23, and after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Once again, we see it evidenced here that with the work of the Lord, what? Comes opposition. It's going to be. But it doesn't ever stop there. It doesn't ever stop that there's opposition and that's it. The work of the Lord keeps on going on. But here, this man that's of renown, of great renown, of great zeal amongst the Jews, the Lord has touched him, visited him, and saved him as he's going up to Damascus to get others, to take him back to be beaten, to take him back to be in prison, to take them and urge them to deny Christ and deny their Savior, to make them blaspheme the name of the Lord. And the Lord has visited him, saved his soul, and called him to a ministry of preaching Christ. He's changed him, and they can't understand it. So the opposition comes. The opposition comes, and what are they going to do? They're going to kill him. They're going to put him to death. They're going to put him to an end. They're going to kill him. Let's get him out of the way. He's more trouble than he's worth. Let's put an end to his work. Why is it so? Because he was a man of such great zeal amongst the Jews. He was a great witness and testimony to the power of God. He just wasn't saved and came and sat down and said, I've been saved and that's it. But he turned around and he preached in the right spirit of the Lord, in the right way of the Lord, with as much zeal or more than he had persecuted the church. And they wanted to put him down. And so the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known to Saul, of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him there in Damascus. And then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And so they didn't let him go out the front gate of the city or one of the gates of the city, but they let him down the outside, the wall there in that basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So he leaves Damascus, comes back down to Jerusalem there from Jerusalem, there northeast in Syria where Damascus is. He comes back to Jerusalem and he sought to join himself to the disciples. He sought to join himself to the church that was there. He sought to join himself to the apostles. Isn't that what the child of God should do? Yes. He left the church up there in Damascus that he spent time with, and he's looking to find a church of like faith and order to join himself to serve in, right? So that he may yet continue to assemble and increase in the salvation and the knowledge of the Lord and the ministry that God has called him to. And so he went over there, he went to join, but they didn't believe it. That's how great the witness of his zeal and the persecution of the church. He, standing by, they've not forgotten that he stood there holding the clothes of those that put Stephen to death because of his preaching of Jesus. They've not forgotten that, and they were afraid of him and would not believe that the Lord had saved him. Verse 27, but Barnabas. Thank the Lord for some Barnabases. Amen. Thank the Lord for some men with care, with discretion, with the ability to evaluate fruit and to the ability to fill a need and to help the children of God. Barnabas looked on Barnabas looked on at Saul. He heard about the testimony of Saul, and he says, "Come here, come here." But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Take a look over here in chapter 4 about Barnabas. You're familiar with this, I trust. In chapter 4, we see a first mention of Joseph, of Barnabas here in chapter 4 of Acts. And this book of Acts, this book of Acts is so very important to us here, even some 2,000 years ago or better, because this is the church's pursuit. This is the Lord's church, and those churches that came out of that first church, this is their pursuit of that commission of the Lord. It's from this book of Acts that we gain a knowledge and understanding about how it is that you and I, how we together as the Lord's church here, Olmsted Baptist Church, how we are to minister and go out and carry the gospel to the world. This book is very important. Think how it would be if we did not have the book of Acts. How foundational the book of Acts is. The Acts of the Apostles working there, the Acts of the church. Working there, and the Lord working amongst them and working with them, as the Scripture says, and bearing witness by the power of the Holy Ghost on them. If it was not for the book of Acts, we would know much less about how we are to operate in the church. It's an important book. It's a book that every member of Olmsted Baptist Church should have a handle on. Every person that's saved and those that have been saved recently, they know, and I recommend to you, I found it so in my own life, the Lord blessed me as a saved child of God to learn and to eat up and to put in my heart the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's how we know about Jesus. That's how we know about what our Savior did to bring salvation to us individuals that He has saved. That's what He did. He did that. That's recorded in the Gospels for me. I know He did it for you, but that doesn't hold weight with me like it does Him doing it for me. And that's the same way it would be with you. And if you don't know about Jesus and the Gospels, you don't know Jesus. Yeah, that's a pretty bold statement, but it's the truth. How else do we know the Lord but from His Word? How else do we know about the salvation that the Lord's brought into us if we don't know it from His ministry? That's how He came and brought salvation. That was the fulfilling of it. That was the manifestation of God upon the earth for my behalf, on my behalf. And if I don't know the Jesus of the Gospels, I don't know Jesus. Brother Jim, isn't the church important, the doctrines of the church? Well, sure they are. These ought we to know and not to leave this unknown. Amen? It's all there for a purpose. It's all there for a purpose. I submit to you that even the knowledge of the Gospels will help us, and the knowledge of the Lord in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will help us to be the witness that we should be of Jesus Christ. It shows His laying aside of His glory. It shows His humility. It shows His love. It shows His care. Because if He hadn't have done what's there, I would not be saved. And if there was just one of us in all the world to have saved, just one sheep, and praise God, there's countless sheep to us, as far as we know. But if there had just been one sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't have done one thing different. Not one. Not one thing different. He would have done that exact same thing. Then the book of Acts tells us then about how the church that He left on this earth, witnesses chosen by God to be a witness of what they saw Jesus do, and how they took that commission, that promise of power, that promise of His authority, and took that good news and moved on and fulfilled the commission of the Lord. and his church. And so that's how it fits together. Does the Scripture, does the Word of God, does the Bible, does it fit together for you? Or is it just a scattering of pages and a scattering of doctrines and a scattering of words that has no fit or form? Or does the Word of God fit together for you? Can you take it? Have you increased in your knowledge of the Lord and take the pieces and parts of the Scripture and build and be able to even relay to another the foundation of the Lord and the things that He's done and how they build and build and build and build and build one on another? Can you do that? This is our time to do so. This is our time to learn and to know these things. And here we see about Barnabas. Barnabas, he was a man convinced of the Scriptures. He was a man saved by the Lord. And we see here in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 32, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul." Can that be said about us? Can that be said about Olmsted Baptist Church? To a great extent, yes. But to some extent, no. Why? Because we've got some missing. We've got some missing. And I love them. I want good things for them. Some tonight, no doubt, are sick. Some tonight, I hope, didn't, especially on a cold night, have a flat tire or got a broke-down car. Those things happen. The Lord knows about that. And surely you know that I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, Lord, help us when we goof off. When we goof off, whether it be in the ministry and that part of the church that we have to do, or the meeting together of ourselves together to worship. I praise God and thank the Lord for you that are faithful. I'm not looking to pump you up. I just thank the Lord that you've been convicted to be here. It'd be tough to not have anybody to preach to. I'm glad you're here. And it's a blessing for us to be together, and I want my preaching to be a blessing to you, and I ask you to pray to me for me that my preaching would be a blessing to you. But I miss those that are not here, if they're goofing off, because we can't increase like we could if we would be together. But here, this man. It's going to tell us about, but the church there was of one heart and one soul. Do we have some factions in the church? Do we have some other leadership in the church other than the Lord? Do we have an agenda here, an agenda here, an agenda here? Or do we have one agenda headed up by Christ? You know, there will be multiple agendas when you and I are in control. But when the Lord Jesus Christ is in control and put first in each and every one of our hearts and lives, huh? Yeah. When I, Jim Duke, a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, put the Lord Jesus Christ first, I will be doing my part to seek that one agenda and that one leadership that we're to have in the church. That's the same thing with you. It's the same thing with all of us. It is. And so, is it so that we are of one heart and one soul? I want us to be. What, was the church here blessed by being such? They sure were, weren't they? They were blessed big by it. They were blessed big by the Lord of being of one heart and one soul, knit together and unified together in that call that the Lord, that commission that the Lord had given them to pursue. And they were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Because that's what he told them that they were to do. And because of that, a great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This was a thing that was done, a communal type of thing that was done there amongst the first church. We don't do that today. I don't know what else to say about it than that. There is an element in our society, in our world, I've talked to some here recently about it, the way of life and the working of life, there is an extent of that that we just inherit from our fathers. This is the way the world works today. You've got the places that you live. You've got the work that you do. You've got the life, the part of your life of your family that you live. And that's not, I don't see that that's wrong, as long as we're putting the Lord first in it. I praise the Lord for the care that this church has for the membership of this church. And that's what the thing that's being exhibited here. And we should well be on the lookout one for another, for those that have need, for those that need help. We should be well looking towards such. And this church here did so. But in verse 36, we hear about this man, Joseph. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. This man was a gracious man, wasn't he? This man was a kind man. This man, he believed the truth, and he stood for the truth. But he wasn't mean about it, was he? He stood in it, and he enjoyed it, and he was comfortable in it, and he was a witness of it. The apostle said, Joseph, we're going to call you Barnabas, because you're the son of consolation. You encourage us, brother. We glorify the Lord because of you, because of your graciousness, because of your kindness, because of your desire to help. To help towards the ministry of the Lord. The son of consolation. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This man Barnabas, he says, this work and this ministry is what God has called me to. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm pursuing. This is what the Lord wants me to do. God wants me to serve here. He saved me. Jesus died for me, was risen again for me. This is His church, and I want to serve Him here. And I want to witness of Him here. And back in Acts chapter 9, this same Barnabas, when Saul came to Jerusalem, can you imagine the rejection? We've all experienced rejection, especially after the Lord has saved him so and rescued him from that self-righteous way that he gives testimony about in other places in the Scriptures. When he thought he was right, when he thought he was really serving God, when he thought that he had it together, and he was on his way to hell. That's the way it was with me. I had great Baptist doctrine and standing and could give you answers about certain doctrines, but there was no heart in it. There was no Jesus in it. There was no salvation in it. It was cold. It was dead. It looked okay, I guess. But it didn't have the Lord as Savior. And here's Saul, he's got the Lord as Savior. And he goes there back to Jerusalem where he had come from, saying, I've been changed. I've been visited by the Lord. I've been saved. And I want to serve with you. Because in the church is where I am to serve. In the church is where I am to be. And the Lord has called me to a ministry. See, Saul didn't seek to be a freelancer, did he? He didn't start Saul Baptist Ministries, Damascus Division. No, he joined himself to the church. He came to Jerusalem to join himself to the church. And through the leadership of the Lord and the call of the Lord and those things that he would tell the church that the Lord had called him into, when the church would say, yes, we agree with it, then he would go. Who was willing for him to go to the synagogue in Damascus and preach? The church in Damascus said, I want to go down here and preach at the synagogue. He said, go, go. And he went and he preached. And no doubt there were those that were saved and those whose hearts were cut. Both ways, that's always the result. But here he comes and he's rejected. They're afraid of him. They didn't believe him. But in verse 27 of chapter 9, Barnabas took him and brought him with the apostles and declared unto them in order, listen, brethren, he's seen the Lord in the way. And when the Lord saved us, that's what happened to us. We didn't see him with these eyeballs, but I saw him as my only hope. Didn't you? Yeah. He's seen the Lord in the way, brethren. He has seen the Lord in the way, and it's evidenced. What did he tell them? Number two, that he had spoken to him. And when the Lord saves, isn't that what happens? Nobody else matters. Nothing else matters. Our pride, it doesn't matter anymore. Our self-reliance, it doesn't matter anymore. Our station, our position, what we've put together, it doesn't matter anymore. Because I heard the Lord. I heard the Lord about my problem, about my need, about my sin, about my soul's need. They'd seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him. The Lord has spoken to him. And number three, how he couldn't keep his mouth closed. How he preached boldly. Not just kind of wimpy and just kind of hedging and such as that, but how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He that sought to kill and put to death and cause to blaspheme any who would claim the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he now is preaching boldly in that same name. The name that he ran down, the name that he hated, the name that he wanted to snuff out. Remember how it was with the leaders in Jerusalem? We've got to do something. And Saul stood up and said, I'll do something. I know what to do. We'll just put them down. We'll keep on putting them down. And the same man now preaches in that same name that he blasphemed and fought against. Barnabas is saying, brethren, the Lord's worked a miracle in this man. He has been saved by the Lord, the Son of Consolation. Barnabas cut through the hype, didn't he? Barnabas cut through the nervousness. Barnabas cut through the knee-jerk reaction. Barnabas went to the word of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord and the working of the Lord in his own life. And he says, this man's got fruit. This man's for real. This man has been saved by the Lord. And he wants to serve him here as he did in Damascus. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Boy, don't you know that was a change. The man that would go to the high priest, to the Sanhedrin, and get those letters of authority, to go to the Jews in those different towns and to go to the synagogues and gather the Jews together there to root out those that were found of this way of Jesus of Nazareth, now is going in and out of the city with the apostles, going in and out of the city and eating with the disciples, going in and out and lodging with the people of God, the church of the Lord, this group of people that the power of God has been manifested mightily in, where thousands have been saved. He's found going in and out with them. Verse 29, and it didn't stop there, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him too. Once again, the work of the Lord. And what do you find right after the work of the Lord? Always opposition. Always an opposer. Always a naysayer. Always one to do it, to take it, and drag it down. You know what? May God help me, the Lord being my helper. I don't ever want to be found opposing the work and the ministry of the Lord and His church. That's a scary place to be found in. That's a wicked place to be found in. May God help. I pray the Lord would kill me before I would be found in a place such as that, fighting against the ministry and the work of the Lord in His church. May God help. May God help in that. I don't want to be found there. I want to be, if the Lord is doing it, the Lord is working it, I want to be found in the Lord's crowd, not in the devil's crowd. I don't want to be found in the opposing crowd. I want to be found in that way that the Lord wants to go. You know how we're going to know that as Olmsted Baptist Church? We're not going to know that by self-reckoning and self-consultation and that. We're going to know that by praying individually and praying together. That's how we're going to know it. When one has an idea of ministry that's brought up and we go there and we take it and we pray about that, the Lord leads in it, we pursue it. I don't care who thinks of it. Do you? I don't care who thinks of it. It's just as long as it's of the Lord, we pursue it. Amen? Just as long as we pursue it, if it's of the Lord, may the Lord help us to pursue it. It's not about me or it's not about you, remember? It's about Jesus, isn't it? It's about edifying Him. It's about witnessing about Him. It's about telling about Him. Spreading that gospel, as we saw Sunday that Peter preached to Cornelius in his house. But the Grecians there, they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, back home. Back up there in Asia Minor. Back up there to where he was born. Back up there where the Lord is going to take him and use him yet farther in the ministry that the Lord's called him to. You know, what has the Lord called you as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church to do? A house that has been built by the Lord, a house that has been fitly joined together, has got a foundation. That's Jesus Christ, right? It's got sill plates, the way that we stick build. It's got wall joists or wall studs. It's got top plates. It's got wall covering. It's got rafters and trusses. It's got roof covering. It's got brick and vinyl veneer. It's got fixtures inside and out. But every part's got a purpose, hasn't it? And the nails are, from the standpoint of the illustration, nails are pretty ugly, aren't they? But what kind of a house can you have without a nail? You can't. We've all got our place. We've all got our part. We've all got that place where we've been put together. The most beautiful picture or mirror can't be hung on the wall without a nail or a fastener or some wire behind it, can it? We've all got our place and our part. None to the detriment of the other, but all working together. Are you increasing? Am I increasing? Are we increasing together in the work that the Lord's called us to here in this church? And the verse 31, then had the churches rest. They were increased, weren't they? The churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, where the Lord had ordained for the gospel to be spread, right? Be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, the Lord said. Be witnesses of me in Judea. Be witnesses of me in Samaria, right? And to the uttermost parts of the world. The Lord's bringing it to pass. The Lord is making good on His commission and His promise to the church to empower them to do what He's called them to do. And it's even going on into Galilee, hadn't it? With the Lord's ministry and the ministry of the church. And as you and I know from what the Scripture says, what's getting ready to happen? It's getting ready to go to Asia Minor and to Europe, isn't it? It's getting ready to go east towards Babylon way, isn't it? It's getting ready to go south, although we don't have much account of it going south into Arabia or to the southwest over into Africa, but it's going to do it, isn't it? Amen. And the Lord's bringing it to pass. Yes, opposition, there will be opposition. But may the Lord help us to stand for Him, to increase in Him and the work of the Lord that He's given us, to not be an opposer to the work, but to be a part of the work. So I don't like the way that's going. I don't like the way this is. I don't like this. I don't like that. Amen. That can happen. We may disagree about things. And you know what the thing to do is when we disagree, we need to pray. Lord, if I'm wrong, change me. Lord, if Brother Jim's wrong, change him. Lord, if Brother or Sister so-and-so's wrong, change them. And Lord, if we're all wrong, change us all. Yeah. Yeah. May the Lord help us not to be found in opposition to the ministry and work of the Lord. What's it go on to say? And the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, built up, and walking, I want you to hang on to this phrase, and I want you to consider about this phrase, and maybe even do your study between now and next Wednesday, and walking in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, that was a promise of the Lord, wasn't it? The Comforter. The comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You want to grow? You want a Olmsted Baptist Church to grow? There's two ways we can grow. We can grow spiritually and we can grow in numbers. And I want to grow both ways, don't you? Amen. Amen. But we need to make sure that we individually are increasing. The work of the ministry is not for somebody else to do. It's not for Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. It's not the work for them to do, but it's the work for us to do. It's the work for us to do. What is that part that you can take in it? What is that part that the Lord would have for us in it? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, this message really hasn't been to you other than the witness and testimony of the Lord's touch upon this man Saul. Through the preaching of the gospel and through the Word of God, have you seen Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the only hope that you have? Have you seen Jesus Christ through the Word of God, through His Word, has He spoken to you about your need? Not what somebody else or how you're better than somebody else or how you think you measure up taller than somebody else, or even some hypocrite that's a member of the church that you can point to and that you can say, I do better than they. But you and your sin, your need, your eternity, has the Lord spoken to you? Have you seen the Lord? We pray for you. You need to repent. You need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the gospel, His death, His burial, His resurrection for you and for your sin.